The word of the Lord comes to us today from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, and it reads, "Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' This honor, then, is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you don't know who I am Jesse Innes. I am the associate pastor here at St. Stephen. The journey of how I came to be preaching before you today is a long one, one that I will not get into today, but it was while having a conversation with my mentor at Duke Divinity this past year, I realized how far I had actually come and started to think more about how far I actually still had to go. I started to kind of complain to him about how long the process of becoming an elder truly is and will be for me. For me, it's probably going to be a total of a decade, give or take, throughout the entire process. And if I had known, if I had known where this journey would take me and how long this journey would be, I don't think I would have started. And so my mentor told me that he's glad that that was not revealed to me beforehand. So far, I've just been following God's plans. I know these are God's plans because these are certainly not my plans. It was not on my bingo card that I would run to a room alone on a construction site, get down on my hands and knees in the middle of a random weekday afternoon and surrender my life to Christ. It was not my plan to be fired from a job and then in the next week be approached by our senior pastor to be invited to apply to be on our church staff as the youth director. I was content in that job. I had no plans of going anywhere further until I went to seminary. I was content being a youth director. But then God's plans intersected, and I began pastoring a congregation even before I went to seminary, even before I was licensed. And when it came time to go to school, I was getting ready to apply to one of the closest seminaries in the area, knowing that I was going to have to be an in-person student, not realizing that Duke Divinity would offer their hybrid program that very year. And when I began the process to leave my former appointment to be a part of St. Stephen, my plan was to be a solo pastor of a small church, definitely not an associate pastor, definitely not a worship leader. But when I received my call to ministry, way before any of these things actually happened, I told Jesus I would go where you send me, not where I planned to go. The fact that I'm standing here today is a miracle. I think we can all look back and think of how our plans have changed throughout the years, but as the church in the world, we can certainly look back and see where our plans have been different from God's plans. It was not God's plan for the church to sell indulgences and to teach people that they could buy their forgiveness. It was not God's plan for the church to start crusades. It was not God's plan for the church to support slavery, to subjugate women, and on and on. The church has participated in many things that were not part of God's plan. The fact that we're still standing here today is a miracle. How long will we stand here, though? Last week, Pastor Ken reminded us of the growing number of nuns in America. Nuns, not the nuns of the Catholic Church, but those who report to have no religious affiliation but are spiritual in some way. News reports say that in 50 years, America will be below 50% of Christians in the population, when 50 years ago, Christians were 90% of the population. I don't think this was part of God's plan either. At this point, you might be wondering, why would anyone spend a decade, give or take, working towards an occupation in a field that is so clearly declining? And if I'm honest, it's not like I haven't considered it. I mean, I'm pretty good with computers, right? I could consider myself a tech guy. Sandy Carson, a member of our church, every time she comes by the church and every time she comes by my office, she comes down and she makes fun of how many screens I have in my office and how big my computer monitor is. Maybe I'd be better off coding or something like that. It certainly appears to be that way. The scripture before us today reminds us that God has laid a chosen and precious cornerstone, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord, and says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. But then the scripture says that Christ is the stone that the builders rejected. And now Christ is now the head of the corner. Christ is the cornerstone, if you will, the chief cornerstone, you may have heard. Christ is the foundation stone of this building, the church. Even though they tried to crucify Christ, he is still the foundation for the salvation of the world. He is the foundation of the salvation of the world. It's ironic that Peter is the one who wrote this passage. Peter, if you remember, was named by Christ because his name, Peter, means rock, because Christ said, upon this rock, I will build my church. But if you remember, Peter tried to disqualify himself. It was not part of God's plan for Peter to deny Christ three times, but Christ foreknew that he would, being divine. And now look at Peter, arguably one of the top five most popular people in scripture, biblical author, and the rock upon whom Christ's church was built, just like Christ said he would be. So here's what I've learned over the years. When I said yes to Jesus, I forfeited my plans for his plans. Christ has been in control the entire time. I have just had ups and downs on the path, times where I have strayed from the plan and Christ had to guide me back, times where I have given up on the plan and Christ had to remind me that this is where we are going. Christ has been in control the entire time. I can make different plans, but it doesn't really matter. If it's God's will, I will be standing here. Now, we often say, the church is not the building, but the church is the people. But I gotta be honest, metaphorically, scripture doesn't really support that claim. It sounds to me that metaphorically, scripture is saying that the church is a building. The church is built on a rock, Peter, the rock, which means that the church is sturdy. It's got a foundation stone in Christ, which means it's got a firm foundation. And verse 5 tells us, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. Sounds like the church is a house made of stone. I think the third little piggy would be impressed. Now, in seminary, they teach us that the church is built on four marks of the church, four pillars of the church, if you will. The church is one, meaning that the church is made up of many different people, many different languages, many different cultures, but the church is one. The church is holy, which means that the church is set apart from the rest of the world in the same way that Christ is set apart from the rest of the world. The church is Catholic, which means that the church is universal. The church is all over the world. And the church is apostolic, which means that it is descended from the teachings that Jesus gave to the apostles. And I believe that the church is covered by the grace of God, like a roof over our building, which allows the church to continue to still be standing over 2,000 years later. Because if it was up to our plans, we would certainly not still be here. But it's because of the plans of God that we are still standing. Scripture says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. We rely on the excellence of God. We did not choose ourselves. We did not ordain ourselves to be a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood meaning the mediators between God and the world. We did not make ourselves a set-apart nation. We are God's own people in order that we might proclaim the excellence of God, not the excellence of ourselves. We have been drawn out of, called out of the darkness into marvelous light. None of this stands on our power. The church was not created by us. The church did not have its foundations laid by us. The church does not currently stand because of us. The church has been created, is sustained only by the power and the excellence of God alone. That's the treasure that is hidden in us, the jars of clay, this gospel that the church is proclaiming to the rest of the world. And so we are to remember that our power comes not from our excellence, but from the excellence of him who called us out of darkness into marvelous light. And so it doesn't matter what the metrics say. It doesn't matter what our history, our fallen history shows us. It doesn't matter how prepared we are. It doesn't matter what programs we have available if Christ is not a part of it all. Christ is the one who gives us what we need when we need it. Christ is the one who equips us for the work that we have been called out of darkness for. Let us never forget that as we go towards our Bible studies, as we continue to be transformed into the image of God, that is a work that is being done by God. As we continue to trust in the power of Christ to do the work and trust God to equip us with what we need, that is the way that we are continuously being built up into this spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood, not because of our gifts, but because of the one who chose us. So let us be the hands, feet, and heart of Christ, not on our own power, but on the power of the one who called us. Friends, we have an opportunity on October 5th, which is our missions day here at the church. And on October 5th, we have an opportunity to not put our trust in the amount of people that are there, not put our trust in the work of our own hands. We're not putting our trust in the fact that we continue coming back time and time again. And for those of us who are worried that we might not be able to help, we are not putting our trust in what we are able to do. We are putting our trust in God. God, the one who has provided this excellent way for us. God, the one who is equipping us for the work of being the church in the world. And so we have 8 opportunities for us to be the hands, the feet, and heart of Christ in the world. We have 8 opportunities for us to operate as the priests of this holy nation, mediating between the world and God. We have 8 opportunities on October 5th for us to show the world that our church is sustained by God, that it was created by God, and that the work we do is only accomplished because our God has planned and has willed it. Now, we don't know the plans that God has for us, but we can trust that the God who has loved us enough to die for us, loved us enough to make a plan for us, we can trust that this God has our best interest at heart. We can trust that our salvation is secure. We can have assurance of the faith that we have because of the God that we serve. So forgive me, forgive us, if ever we led you to believe that we gather here under any other reason than an opportunity to encounter the God of our salvation. For it is for that purpose alone, Christ and Him crucified, that we are a people standing still today. So let us place our entire trust on this God, knowing that God, the God who calls us out of darkness into marvelous light, is the God who will sustain us for the journey, is the God who will continue to make our salvation sure until Christ comes again. And calls us into His heavenly banquet. Let us pray. Gracious and heavenly God, we give You thanks for the blessing that it is to be a part of Your church, to know that by Your Spirit that You are building us up into the people that You have called us to be. God, I pray that over time You allow us to release all of the things that we believe is a part of our power. Allow us to release our programs, our ministries, our Bible studies into Your care so that Your Holy Spirit will do with them what the Spirit wills. Allow us to release ourselves from these plans that we create and trust that You, O God, are building us up into a holy nation and that You, O God, are creating in us who You have always called us to be. Allow us to release the fear of not being equipped, of not being prepared, of not being good enough, knowing that we operate from the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ that represents us before You, O God. And we thank You for the grace and the mercy, the means of grace that reminds us of who we are and of the grace that You have so freely given to us, and the grace that continues to transform us as we live into Your people. God, we thank You. And we love You. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. At times, it might feel like a daunting task to go out into the world and to be God's representative in a broken world. It might seem as though we don't really have a leg to stand on. Our church is declining, and we have a difficult history. But we are to be reminded that we do not stand on our excellence. We do not stand on our power, but we stand on the power of God, the God who calls us, the God who sustains us, and the God who will see us through God's plans. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you all and grant you His peace. Go in peace.